This is PS You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Finally, all of my Survivor knowledge is going to come to play.
As soon as she revealed her love of Survivor, I was like, oh my God, I need to see one of Matt's audition tapes.
Oh, you know, so I've auditioned for Survivor many times, not in the last couple of years due to cancer, but I probably will get back at it, into it again. Although I haven't watched the last couple seasons. Survivor is like sort of going downhill. It's on my shit list at the moment of television shows. So at some point I think I'll get back to it, but right now I'm on a little bit of a break. But my audition tapes, I think, were always really bad. And they were like very difficult for me to sort of film and then watch. And then I would immediately delete them after. But I think a lot of that had to do with like incongruousness between me like being gay but not being out yet. You know what I mean? Like I'd watch these videos and it's like, oh my gosh, like this person like is so like seems so gay, but then in the videos I'm like, I'm a Christian, blah 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 blah, and it was always like, huh, okay,
why you're just making you want to see it more.
Right, it's like you could see why I was never cast, but then also I'm sort of like, wait, this is shocking.
Would have been great cast
me. Like this could have been a real good TV, somebody losing their mind in real time. I probably wouldn't have passed the psych eval, honestly. But no, I don't like have them. Like I truly deleted them, like because I never wanted someone to see them. So I don't have them on my computer. Like I'm sure that they're somewhere on like a CBS hard drive someplace. Like you can go to the headquarters in LA, wherever that is, Burbank or whatnot.
Okay, but, I'll be there.
But yeah, I didn't. I filmed one in our old office randomly.
Oh my God, iconic.
Like on a weekend I went in and I was like, I work in book publishing, blah, blah, blah. I was always trying to come up with a different angle of how to get on Survivor. Yeah.
You're like,
and
what's unique about me?
I know. And it never really took. It was like, well, I love Jesus. I love Jesus, but now I live in New York.
I have no secrets whatsoever. Nothing I'm wrestling with. I just love books.
Yes. And then I do think I maybe made one or two that were like, oh, I just came out before I got cancer. But I sort of don't know because I feel like with the pandemic, things were weird as well with like the application process. So
yeah,
I can't remember how all of that worked. But I do think I definitely made one in my apartment in Kips Bay that was like, I used to be like super religious and now I'm gay, which apparently also did not strike their fancy. So like, what was this woman's name? Like Linda Little. I need a plane crash to really get me where I need to be.
Yeah. We were talking about Send Help, which is the Sam Raimi horror comedy starring Rachel McAdams and Dylan O'Brien, which, if you remember, was on my excited to watch list of our 2026 preview. And I looked back at the numbers and you were like, wow, this is going to be bad. This looks stupid. It's going to come in at 40%. And I just want a moment. I just want a moment for my own validation of like being so right and you being so wrong. So
I'm like, ride high on this. the first film. We'll have to see if you come back with these sort of alerts as other movies come out this year, or if this is the only one we hear about.
No, I'm sure I'll be right about every single one. I was right about The Bone Temple too. So two for two so far.
The Bone Temple, which I did not watch, so I can't really weigh in on that.
Yeah.
I'm very like in my mind, Sam Raimi is like Spider-Man. I'm like, oh yeah, he like that's all he's directed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forget that like almost all of his other films are like horror. It's like he has tons of horror films and then randomly directed the three Spider-Man movies. And I guess he did apparently Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, as Wikipedia is telling me, but I had forgotten.
We talked all about that.
I'm sure we did.
How weird he is and how he tried to make it so weird, but it just like can't, a Marvel movie can't be weird anymore because it depends on so many like so many layers of like exposition coming in and paying off for the next film.
Also, he's kind of old. I mean, like, which I guess
why makes are you sense. Still making movies?
But he's like, in my mind, Sam Raimi's like 45 and like kind of edgy. And no, Sam Raimi is like 66. But I guess he has. Also, he's from Michigan. Who knew?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, his first movie came out in 1979. So like it has been, he has been at it for quite some time.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I'm not like, he's always like the quirky director horror dude who I never watch really. But everyone, everyone like admired this, the original Spider-Mans, which you did, right? You were a Tobey Maguire Spider-Man guy. I don't know. Me.
You're like me, actually. I hate Spider-Man. Okay, well,
hello. Hated Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Well, yes, we both did that, and like no one liked
so dumb. But I was excited for this, and I will say I was surprised by how like gory and freaky and weird it got, which I shouldn't have been. But I wasn't bothered by it. It made sense in the context of this film.
Well, it's interesting that on Wikipedia, it's described as survival horror, where in my mind, which I do think makes sense, like having watched it, but in my mind, it was going to be more like a psychological thriller, a little bit more of like Triangle of Sadness sort of energy.
Yeah.
And it definitely has that vibe. But the scene, I think you really figure out what it's going to be. The scene where she's like hunting the boar, and it's like the boar is like coughing up blood and like pus and all kinds of stuff on her, and you're like, oh, okay, this is actually going to be a disgusting movie. Like there was no reason that this needed to be this graphic, and yet here we are.
Yeah, I mean, that was so crazy, but even the setup of like this plane crash got pretty graphic. Like it wasn't like I had only seen one trailer, half of a trailer really, walking into another movie once, and so I was kind of expecting it to be more like what's the Tom Hanks one?
Castaway.
Like Castaway meets like I don't know, some sort of office comedy, because it's about a woman who has a boss who doesn't respect her, and they end up being the only two survivors of this plane crash, and they wash ashore of this deserted island and have to work together and survive.
Well, the thing about the trailer is that, and I think just this movie in general, is like the premise is so strong and it's so easy to see that really the trailer only shows like, I don't know, what, the first like 20 minutes, half hour of the film, because it's mostly just setting up the premise. So the back half of the movie, I feel like you don't really get a sense of like, okay, they're obviously going to be trying to survive on this island, but like, is that the whole rest of the movie? Is something else going to happen? Does somebody else show up? Like what does the back half of the movie look like? And you really, you don't get that from the trailer. I like it when movies are like this and they're like, okay, the premise is so good, we're just going to give you that. That will get people into the theaters. We don't need to like be showing a bunch of clips from the back half of the movie. Like, which I'm kind of shocked that more things don't do. Because even like a Mission Impossible movie, for example, it's like those trailers are showing you set pieces that are going to be in the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, we don't need to see that. Like, we know what Mission Impossible movies are. Just show us sort of whatever the first thing is going to be, and then we'll be surprised when he's hanging out of an airplane in the back half. But no.
I mean, and it was interesting too, because this movie was written by this duo, Mark Swift and Damian Shannon, who did Baywatch and like the newest Friday the 13th and Shark Tale. And so they don't have much under their belt whatsoever. And I did like walk away from this film with certain feelings about like, I don't know, because when you have the like the comps of something like Triangle of Sadness or even something like Ready or Not, where you're taking on class, you're taking on like the dynamic of a workplace and the power dynamics and the male energy versus the female and whatever, I was expecting it to be one thing, but it ends up being very like playful and over the top, and not really interested in sort of exploring that specific element of like classism and capitalism and whatnot. Like it definitely has fun with the premise and like this idea of human nature and what we become when we're pushed to our limits. But it also didn't, like, I feel like in another group of hands, this might not have been so like happy to make Linda Little so disgusting, you know? Like, it felt a little bit like this is written by men, which it was.
I mean, like, yes, the two things. First, I was like, she is so gross at the beginning
pathetic.
Of the movie.
Yeah, so
like,
disgusting.
Like, she, and I was like, kudos for Rachel McAdams for being down to just look so nasty and disheveled and just like gross early on. And it is sort of interesting because I think then once she gets to the island, she sort of has like a little bit of a glow up because she's, you know, at one with nature or whatnot. But yes, this movie doesn't, while it certainly, there are elements about class and about gender, it feels mostly focused on the sort of underdoginess or like, oh, like
psychoticness.
You have been passed over for a job you are qualified for, which I think happens to a lot of people in workplace scenarios, no matter who the like whether you're a man or a female or what race you are, or how rich you are or whatever. Like, I think that's kind of a universal experience of like, oh, somebody comes in who's like friends with the boss or whatever, and they get the promotion that you feel like you rightfully should have gotten. And yes, lots of time that's men taking jobs from women, but also sometimes that's men taking jobs from men. Like, you know, sometimes it's rich people, but not necessarily. Like, you could be working at the, you know, Walmart, and it's sort of like somebody hires their friend, and then all of a sudden that person's the assistant manager instead of you. And it felt like that was kind of the piece of human experience that they were most interested in, rather than talking about like sexism or classism, even though those obviously, I think, like build the narrative of the story into something that feels a little bit more realistic. But then they just sort of want to switch that, where, oh, like, you used to have all the power, but now you actually have no power, and I have the power because of this, like, you know, set of skills I have, in this case, because she's a super big Survivor fan and has, like, studied all of this, and how that kind of, like, revenge narrative works out, and the sort of, like, push and pull between these two people.
And it becomes, like, a very specific, like, character study, where it's not necessarily making big brushstrokes about like human nature in general. It's like, what happens when you have this pushed over, like, resentful person who's like pushed to their limit, finally feels power? What does she do with that power, and what does she want with that power? And so it's like, you get stuck in her psychology of just wanting to be not only respected, but valued and loved. And so, and then on top of that, you're pairing them with someone who only knows how to like manipulate his way out of a situation, who's like always talking, but not really having anything to add.
Right.
And how does he navigate like the interpersonal dynamic of someone who has all the cards when he wants the control too?
Right.
So, like, stepping back and like just letting them be two awful people, I think allows the movie to feel less like offensive to women everywhere. Because I mean, I like recognize that, but I was like, wow, they really went in on this Linda Little character. Like, it wasn't what I expected, I guess. Like, I thought it'd be like, hoorah, you know, power to the women, like, don't like underestimate us fellas. And it was, but at the cost of every good feeling you might have had for Linda's character.
See, like, maybe this is just me sort of in the like, oh, Gone Girl's a great rom-com sort of era, but I was like rooting for her the entire time. Sort of felt like she kept making choices that were like out of kindness that like ended up coming back to bite her, and then she would have to like double down on stuff, you know? Like,
well, I mean, definitely in some ways.
Like, Like, she kept having, yeah. I mean, but she, like, I got to the end of the movie, and I wasn't like, oh, what a despicable person, like, hate her. I do think that I felt for her, and I was like, yeah, you know, whatever.
For sure,
like,
yeah, we can feel, like, for someone.
She finds out early on that there is, like, this mansion on the island, and that she could probably use it to get off the island whenever she wants, but she likes definitely having... Could. Yes, but she likes having this position of power over the guy. She likes, and I think, like, it's been her dream to sort of, like, survive for so long that there is a certain element of, like, oh, yeah, she just, like, wants to prove to herself.
Well, this is, like, where she matters. Like, going back to the real world gives her nothing. It just puts her right back in this, like, laughable state of powerlessness.
She was sort of an odd character, though, in the beginning, because I think... You definitely see a lot of people who are, like, the hard workers at work, who are kind of, like, the quiet, shy people who don't get the, like, credit because somebody else takes it from them. But she was, like, outgoing in a way that was just, like, sort of off-putting to other people. Yeah. And just then so she was awkward. Just so, like, gross.
Yeah. I feel
like it was her main problem, like, that she just didn't look, like,
it
cleanly.
It felt, like, unreal. Yeah.
And I do think that that sort of led to a weird, like, who is this person exactly?
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
her, like, main quality at work is just that she's kind of disgusting.
Gross, yeah.
And that
eating
people don't want to hang out with
from
her.
A drawer
because she's, like,
covered in mayo.
Yeah, because she's, like, messy.
Awkward, can't read social cues, always
but
mumbling.
Is, like, very good at her job, supposedly.
Yeah.
And they keep mentioning that, like, Dylan O'Brien's dad, who ran the company before, was, like, really liked her and knew that she was, like, good at her job and was going to promote her, but then he died.
And that, honestly, you don't get props for thinking someone's good but not doing anything for them.
Right.
She was
no,
still
was,
sat at
was,
the secretary's
was,
desk.
It was very much the, well, he was a good person because he freed his slaves after they died kind of vibe. It's like, well, I don't actually think that that counts for anything because... He got everything that he wanted out of the slaves and then was like, oh, well, actually, like, I don't care about anybody else. But when they get to the island and, like, yes, she does not help him escape right away, even though she could. So, like, that's a ding on her as a person. But then I think she's sort of trying to, like, rehab him in some ways.
Right.
Of, oh, maybe if, like, we're here and we're in this different setting, like, I can make him a better person. I can make him understand me. And I
But
feel
it's
like,
for her own benefit. Like, it's not like she's like, I'm going to help him. It's like, she wants to be on the island. She doesn't want to be alone. She wants to be loved and desired and respected. And so it's like that space movie with Chris Pratt waking up Jennifer Lawrence. It's like, well, this is you don't get there's no sympathy for doing something so morally wrong. And I think it is inarguably morally wrong to keep someone trapped on an island, convinced there's no help, and lie and manipulate them to trust only you.
Right, but it wasn't like a misery situation. Like she could have been a lot worse from the jump of like, oh, now I have the power, like I'm gonna make this miserable for you. Like I'm gonna get my revenge.
Yeah, sure.
And it doesn't really feel like she's like keeping him there out of a
She's benevolent.
Yeah. She is nice. And then like even when they start going sort of head to head, she keeps giving him like breaks. And I'm like, no, just like the scene where she's supposedly going to castrate him, but then she's actually just killing this rat. I'm like, no, you should have just done
you
it.
You were like, that would make sense. You'd still be a good person in my
I'm
book.
Like, I'm like, because
castrated.
She didn't castrate someone, she's a good person. She gets off on the rest of the stuff that she does.
I mean, I think I know you're like just. I don't want to get into a moral grandstanding with you. I feel like you know I mean, technically that that's still abuse.
Like,
even
yes.
if she's not physically
No, I do. Like I understand that they're both bad people in this situation, but I guess, yeah, like, I left the movie.
You were more forgiving of her.
Yes.
It was like a rah-rah. Gone Girl, yeah, is a good comp. You're like, well, I support women's wrongs.
I support women's wrongs, but also I felt like she was in a, like, I felt like she was acting, like, she was bad because of society, sort of, like.
See, I feel like they wrote her that she was just bad because they have that whole storyline of her original husband, which, again, she is a victim, but she also makes choices that lead to bad situations. So but it felt like they were trying to say, like, no, she turns out to be a little bit cuckoo.
But we can't tell if the original husband thing was like an accident or if it had been purposeful, right?
Well, it was like, so the implication is she had an abusive husband who died in a car crash, but he died in a car crash because instead of hiding his keys, as she usually does when he's drunk, she gives him the keys, thus giving him the freedom to make his bad choice. But the right. Like, I'm not saying she should be like, I'm not saying I don't understand that or that she was responsible for his death, but I'm saying the way they wrote her felt like, oh, actually this person might be a little unstable and like this person is actually a little bit cuckoo. Cuckoo. Not that they were saying Dylan O'Brien was better. I think it was sort of it was two bad people in bad situations, and there was an emotional payoff in the final act, you know, letting her be the winner, so to speak. But it was just interesting stepping back, looking at the writing of this female character and being like, wow, there was no nuance in some ways. Like, it was just, this is a gross person.
Yeah, I felt like, I mean, the grossness notwithstanding, I felt like she had a lot of like layers to her like she was like in a world in which these terrible things had not happened to her, she would have been a lovely person. And she was sort of like warped by both like having an abusive husband and then also like this work dynamic and then the fact that she's like stranded on this island, although I guess she really
she had a psychotic break for sure.
He felt like was an evil person in all universes. Like, I think he was like always going to
He has the hurt people shtick. He has a loving relationship with his fiance. It's not like he's like the worst of the worst. Like, he's a victim of society in some ways too, how they frame it.
But I don't know. I was very much on her side the entire time and felt like I could understand what she was doing and where she was coming from, where he was just like a horrible person.
He was trying to survive being stuck with an inflexible person, right? Like, I don't want to go. I enjoyed the movie because it was fun to see them sort of like wrestle with each other's worst qualities. And so you're seeing him be like stubborn and bossy and entitled, and he's annoying, and it's like, and he deserves every time she walks off and is like, fine, survive on your own. And like watching her get to dangle that like survival carrot in front of him and him have to grovel for it is satisfying. But it's also like, towards the back half at least, it's like it just becomes a horror film because you're like, holy shit, like, how do you survive this on both ways? So it was like fun to see these two bad people kind of wrestle. And I am glad that like she, I don't know. I feel like it's less, I didn't feel like hoorah, go girl in the end. Cause I'm like, damn, like either one of them could kill them. And I'd be like, yeah, there could only be one, you know?
Right. It did remind me a little bit of a movie that if I'm remembering correctly, you did not like. I Care a Lot, the like Rosamund Pike one, where it was her versus Peter Dinklage trying to like screw over the other in regards to like stealing money from people in nursing homes. But that, again, it was like two evil, shitty people going back and forth trying to see like which of them could like out evil and shitty person the other one. I'm like, I can't actually remember how that movie turned
out. She gets shot.
Yeah, I'm like, I think Rosamund Pike ends up not winning in that battle.
She loses.
But the woman wins here, and that's important for women's rights, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was funny, and I do think it was really like well cast. Like Dylan O'Brien is great at that sort of sniveling, like likable, hateable, like dynamic there. And then Rachel McAdams is just like this chameleon, because it was like I was studying her. I'm like, how did they make her look so disgusting, so physically repulsive in the beginning? And then she does have this very like acknowledged glow up. And I was like, is this makeup? Like, is it just letting her hair down? Like, is it that simple? Am I getting the classic like, oh, female makeover, she's not ugly, she just needed to wash her hair situation? Like, I don't know, but she was so fun to watch because she just like went from someone so different and then has these like metamorphoses on the island where she becomes so supercharged and in love with herself, and then that ego drives her to be, you know, the villain in many ways, where she's like choking him out in final fight and throwing people off of the cliffside.
I do think some of it is just like hair and makeup for her. I mean, and probably lighting also to a certain degree, but like it is wild. I think because men don't wear makeup, they, for the most part, like sort of have a, like their range of like beauty, and also because they have shorter hair. Like, I think there's just different things where it's like, the range limits of beauty is of like not that big.
Yeah,
it's like you see someone when they wake up in the morning and you see them when they're like all dressed up, and it's like it's not that big of a flex because there's not that many variables at play.
Right.
Where I do feel like with women, there are times where it's like I know somebody and then I see a photo of them like at a wedding or something, and I'm like, oh, this is like a complete, like it's crazy that someone can like with basically just like a little bit of makeup and like a hair straightener or whatever look this vastly different. And I think that they just like really steered hard into like the kind of like, okay, we're gonna like make your skin look sort of blotchy and get really bad hair and make you look sort of oily and whatever in the first half, and then in the second half we're just gonna like, you know, do a little zhuzhing.
She was glowing. She had no sunburn to be seen.
Gorgeous to begin with, so it's not that difficult to make her like beautiful. I think Rachel McAdams and Dylan O'Brien are very unique actors. I was thinking about this as I was writing my Substack this week. They are not actors who you would necessarily think of as like great actors. You know what I mean? Like if you had a list like, oh, who are the 10 best actors of our like generation or whatever, like they're not usually in dramas. They're in a lot more like commercial movies. They're kind of just doing whatever, but they are, I think, so talented and so good at everything that it makes movies look, it makes their performances like look deceptively simple, you know? So I think that they're never getting the praise that they deserve because they're doing good work in movies where like it's not highlighted as much, you know, like if you watch the Maze Runner movies or whatever, it's like there's so many other things going on in that that you're not like, oh
yeah,
the main thing is Dylan O'Brien's performance. It's not like he's in Hamnet where like the whole thing is just like, oh, like you're gonna have to cry a lot or whatever.
And
I think the same with Rachel McAdams. And also they can do fun, they can do comedy, they can do serious, whatever. And this movie, because it's just the two of them and they have so many different levels that they have to play, you just get to watch these incredible performances roll out as they are funny but also serious. They're like sobbing, they're fighting, they're covered in
Dylan's
blood, they're
afraid.
Oh my gosh, that laugh is like haunting. But I think he kind of does laugh like that in real life.
Well, yeah, but... No, I think, yeah, I think,
but it is
like,
worse in the movie, but yes,
they're very like charismatic, and it feels like, oh, you just slot them in and it'll be a good time. But I do think they bring more to the roles than you think. And it's easy to like picture like, oh yeah, this movie could have been done with Sandra Bullock or Sydney Sweeney, but it's like that would have been a different movie. And I think this was like a perfect fit for Sam Raimi's like desires. And that's why he like called her back from working with her on Doctor Strange. He said in an interview that it was like he knew he wanted to work with her because she was just down to do anything. He would be throwing like a, yeah, she's Doctor Strange's love interest. You have no memory.
I have no recollection of that. No.
It's like he was like talking about how, oh, there's going to be a ghost attacking you and you just have to wrestle it and it's going to go for your jugular and you have to fight it off, spit in it, whatever. And she's just like wrestling air because it's all, you know, CGI. And he's like, yeah, I was so impressed that she was, it was never a question of like, wait, what do you mean? What is it going to do? It was always like, okay, let's do it. And I think that physicality and that sort of like balls to the walls, like enthusiasm pays off in a role like this where, yes, you're selling like a human interest story, but more than that, you have to be like down to clown because it is on paper kind of silly. Like it's like she shows up with a knife. Suddenly there's papayas everywhere. Like it's like homeboy should have known something was up, but even she fooled the audience. Like I didn't clock that for a large bit of the movie that there must be some other source for these like magical finds.
You didn't realize that? I feel like the moment that, well, I can't remember if she gets the knife first or if she says like, oh, don't go to the section of the island right, where there's yeah. the X. But I was like, oh, 1,000% there's like a resort or something over there. And that's when she keeps bringing things back.
Yeah, I thought it was just like, oh, that's where the boats come, so she doesn't want to like be over there. I didn't think about it. Okay, it's fine.
Of all the things, I feel like you're one of those people who's often though saying things to me that are like, oh, you didn't pick up on the blah blah blah. And this feels like the most obvious
thing. Well, because I feel like it could have gone either way. It's like the movie would have been ridiculous and they could have ended up in the same way.
You could like maybe
No. I knew she was lying about that. I knew it was like that's too convenient. And it was also interesting, like yeah, no, it was just, it was.
But he's stupid.
He's stupid.
Which I was like, oh, and another reason why he deserves this. Because he's like, what?
When he like makes his sad little raft and he's like,
yes.
Like, sir, this isn't going past this first wave. I've seen Moana, okay? This is a tough sailing expedition.
Yeah,
it's like the
hardest part about the raft is to get it out onto the sea. Like, isn't that that's part of Castaway as well?
Oh yeah, Castaway.
Yes, and Lost. It's like every movie with the raft.
He just feels like he's born to be successful at anything he does, which I also admired. But I had a thought and then I forgot it.
About rafts, about you not being able to guess that there was a mansion on the island. I also think because of Triangle of Sadness, which has like literally that exact same plot point where somebody, where they find the house and the woman's like, wait, I actually am
gonna it had like passed my mind. I guess I thought we would have seen her because we saw her see a boat and be like, not yet, I'm not ready.
Yes.
So I would have assumed, so I was like, oh, if there had been a house, she would have found it, you know?
Wait, can we talk, though, about the girlfriend on the boat or the fiance, I guess?
Yeah.
Like, what? It's her and, like, one random man in, like...
She says they've called off the search publicly, so she's just funding
but
this.
But I'm like, how close is this island to another island or to the mainland that someone's just, like, driving
That's
around
true,
in a fishing
That's true, just a
boat?
Little motorboat. Well, they set up very quickly that it's, like, in... around Thailand and there are a lot of little islands. I don't know mileage on little boats, but yeah. I mean, that's the thing about, I think it's very hard to get lost on an island these days just because of lots of things. So there is a little bit of, I mean, and even them being like, let's go find him. Oh my gosh, we're walking on this crazy trail and there's no question and they're very naive about it and like, oh, what? Help me, help me. it was like convenient how it played out.
I did also have a question about the rock that the fiance falls down. Of like the first time when they're up on the cliff, cliff, like part of the cliff falls down and Rachel McAdams falls, but then she gets saved. And then miraculously, that chunk of rock that he's fallen like, is like
it back has up.
Reappeared and is like the she booby like, trap has reset.
Yeah. I was like, did she booby trap or did she just know the rock face was weak and was like hoping nature would make the choice it, for her or something?
That another piece of the yeah. rock would fall off. But I'm like, yeah. if that part of the rock was so weak, wouldn't it have fallen off when she was hanging off the side of it? Like the yeah. physics of this are questionable yeah. to me.
Oh, that's what I wanted to talk to you about because
physics.
The last movie we discussed was Primate and you were oh, yes. really mad about the green screen.
Yeah.
How did you feel about this? Oh,
I mean, I literally
as soon
thought,
as they did the pan, the, I thought as of
soon
you.
As soon as they did the pan out to the full island, I was like, oh, and this is like another example of bad green screen. But I will say this. I think that the rest of the movie, the green screen was like...
Anytime they were on that cliff, sir.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no. The cliff was
terrible.
Bad. The cliff was bad. But they actually filmed, like, the rest on a beach. Like,
yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
All of the beach scenes were clearly, like, filmed on a beach. Yeah. So that was nice. You know, it was, like, the thing with the house and Primate is, like, that was definitely all a set. So,
yeah.
like, all of the, like,
so
outside
was a beach.
World.
Well, yeah, but you just like the idea of fresh air. You're like, I can feel it. The sand is real and that's valuable.
You don't think that they were filming on like an actual beach somewhere?
No, I do, but I'm saying yes. but they were filming on an actual house too. Like it was a set, but it was like it wasn't green screen. The actual set was real. As
yes,
was
but like
the
surrounding
beach.
Like when they're in the pool or whatever, it's like, no, that was like there was definitely like a green, like the sky and stuff was not real, I think, in Primate. No, I really didn't have an issue with it in this. I felt like, well, because here's the thing. I was like, I know that they're filming on a beach, which I appreciate.
Okay.
But I was like, I do think it would be very hard for them to find like an individual island. But we do need to get like an establishing shot of the fact that like this is an island that's not attached to anything. Like, okay,
right.
And yeah. It was bad, but it wasn't, like, so bad. Like, I don't know. It was kind of whatever. But then, yes, every time they were up on that cliff, I was like, okay, this could have used a little bit of reworking. This
is, like, more money
like
towards
styrofoam this. Boulders, like, obviously.
Yeah, the bright orange flowers were like, and yes, we're back.
Right, yes. So... That was, yeah. that was, but then I also really appreciated all the practical effects of all yeah. of the like goo and ooze
disgusting.
And the hair and nastiness. Yeah. So,
so gnarly. And so many like jump scares. Like it's so campy.
Oh, yeah.
In such a
like,
weird
when
way.
That scene that's like a dream or whatever, and yeah. then a zombie pops up next yeah. to her. I was like, okay, this was entirely
that's
unnecessary.
Yeah.
It was very, it was very like that Acura commercial or whatever that you used to show on YouTube, you know, where like the
oh my
thing
god,
pops
yeah,
up.
Traumatized. That's why you thought Sam Raimi was younger. Is you're like he has to be a millennial.
He has to have seen that. Wait, maybe he made that video. I don't yeah. know. It might be from yeah. one of his old movies that I haven't seen.
Yeah, I mean, and then I think it was so fun, and it was like such a fresh, like obviously a well-trod path of you know shipwreck and whatever, but it felt like a fresh game, and these two characters were fun to watch, and all the reviews are like, oh, that was like surprisingly a grotesque, enjoyable experience, and so I think I could recommend this to pretty much anyone, and I'd probably rewatch this easily. It was funny and fresh and interesting, but I do feel like I'm curious how you felt about the ending, because it does like ratchet up, of course, but then it all starts to kind of, it's like very twisty. It's like, oh, and then this, and you didn't know this, and also this, and it's like, so you're with Dylan O'Brien's character as he realizes like, oh, my girlfriend did come to rescue me, and now she's buried dead. And so,
which I loved the Linda, scene with yeah, the hand just the hand sticking just out with
rock.
The engagement ring, yeah. like
yeah. And he's like, so she killed her, and then they confront each other, and then they wrestle, and then And then he almost tears her eye out, which is like my nightmare. And I could not watch the scene. It was so disgusting. But then they end up in the house and it's like she gets on the speakerphone and gets to like explain it all. And that's where I was like, this, there's no coming back from this. I feel like she would be caught. I feel like she couldn't get away with it is my sentiment. Because in the end, she gets her final like kill and it's very, you know, charming and strategy and planning and ties it all together. It's with the golf club. It's beautiful. But then the final like ending is that she is successful, rich and wealthy back on the mainland, like back in society, where she says that she built a raft and she escaped and was found and wrote a book and it was a bestseller and now it's being turned into a movie. I don't know. I just feel like there's too many bodies. There's too many bodies on an island someone owns. So they're going to find it. How does she get away with it? Is that the sequel? Is that she's found out in 5 years when someone undigs the body?
My question a little bit is like, how does nobody like realize that something happened in the house? Yeah,
exactly. The house is destroyed. There's blood.
I think she could theoretically like kill the three of them, leave them on the island, get on a raft, get picked up at sea someplace, and then be like, oh my gosh, like I was never on an island. I was always on a raft or something. But I do think that someone would like
the house.
Like scientists know. Well, but even that, it's like scientists know she would have had to have said that she was on some sort of island.
Right.
I think the rescue people would be able to tell the difference between like someone who's been on a raft for 80 days.
Someone well fed. Yeah.
And then on a raft for 2 days. But then, yeah, I guess like with the house, what do we think she like maybe like burns down the house and then flees and then they're kind of like, oh, well, there was nobody else on the island and the house burned down. So it's like they don't put the pieces together.
Yeah, I guess we need to read her book and understand what she
says. Right, I know. Well, and they're turning it into a movie.
This poor fisherman is lost and the rich fiance is gone too. So wouldn't there be search for her? Like, the layers got complicated. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I don't think anyone's searching for the fisherman, unfortunately.
Yeah,
With the fiance, it does sort of feel like, well, if they already called off the search for Dylan O'Brien... And obviously they're not going to find the fiance because she's dead. And they're not going to find Dylan O'Brien because he's dead. Like, how long is the search going on?
Yeah.
Especially if she's traversing the Indian Ocean on a fisherman's boat. Yeah. I think it'd be pretty easy for them to be like, well, maybe it sunk.
It's the same with like Ready or Not ending. It's like, well, she's screwed. Like, she's going to be in prison. There's so many dead bodies and only her. No one's going to believe her story.
No, she's not in prison because she's going to be back.
Yeah. I think the sequel deals with that. I think from the trailer, at least, I think the police are like, what?
What happened?
Yeah. So maybe I need sequels to these sort of like horror films where I'm like, no, but actually, how do they get away with it? Because I don't think it'd be easy. I don't think so, honey.
That happened with, there was some TV show or something, wasn't there? Oh, Stranger Things. I was like, that we were talking about where we were like, oh, wait, how did all,
oh, yeah.
how did they kill all of these members of the military and then nothing happened? Yeah.
50 army men down, not a single word said. Yeah, no. So I feel like, honestly, maybe that's part of it is I don't know if I needed the house necessarily. I mean, it was fun to have a final twist and for Dylan to feel so stupid.
I mean, I didn't think that the house was really a twist. Like, when we got to that point, it was like, oh, well,
for
yeah,
Dylan, it was.
Yeah.
For Dylan, it was another stab in the back, slap in the face.
Yeah.
But and it was like, I mean, I it was love set the up line as where a she's final
like,
twist.
You think the knives are just like wrapping up on store? Are you psychotic?
Yeah. But it was also, I was kind of like, that was another moment. Now I'm remembering where I was like, oh, this feels like written by men because it didn't necessarily make sense that she like wanted him to confess his love for her. Like, did you get the sense it was like romantic love or just friend love, like respect love? Because I was like, this did feel kind of weird that she's like, she just wants him to say, like, I love you and we can be happy together.
Yeah.
Because it hadn't been romantic throughout.
No, I did. Like, that was sort of an odd element. And I was a little bit confused.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple of times where it's like, she... Like I think earlier on when they sort of have that like dinner date
before
he poisons her.
Yeah.
There was a moment in there someplace where it was a little bit like
naked butt.
Right, yes. And it was that where it's like, okay, is this supposed to be like a flirtation of some sort, or isn't it? Because I could have seen this also go in a different direction where they both sort of like fall in love with each other and sort of, and like evil person, like, yeah, we're crazy, but like, like we get each other kind of way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sort of needed to pick a lane. I'm glad that it didn't go like into an actual, like, oh, but she's in love with him kind of thing.
Yeah.
Explicit, because I think that would have been like a Fatal Attraction-y kind of vibe. Because I think that would have been too much.
Yeah.
But I do think, yeah, someone could have like snipped those couple bits from
where he's like trying to talk her down. And so the only thing he can do is like say, I love you.
Because we also, I mean, like, far be it from me to say we didn't need to see Dylan O'Brien's butt, but that was also a scene that was like, it didn't really have a lot of payoff.
It was great. We see Rachel McAdams rolling in a waterfall, you know, wet t-shirt contest for one. And we see Dylan O'Brien's fat ass.
Derriere.
So it was all done equally, I think. I think we got all we needed from them both, performance-wise.
And that's what, you know, that's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're happy to see it.
Yeah. But yeah, she looked great. I mean, every crusty outfit lingerie piece, I was like, man, Rachel McAdams is gorgeous. Like, let her be pretty.
Right. Yes. It does make you wonder what Hollywood could do to make some of these other people look ugly, though.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, if they can make Rachel. Well, and also, I will say, I'm like, watching Rachel McAdams be ugly in this movie does make me reconsider other movies where people are, you know, quote unquote ugly, like in Where the Crawdads Sing, where it's like the Daisy Edgar Jones is like a swamp person, but always looks gorgeous. And it's like, no, we can make people look like real people in movies. Like, even if they are beautiful in real life, we can sort of make them look a little bit doggier.
Yeah, Timmy Chalamet has acne.
Right.
Yeah. And it works. And yeah, I agree. Well, that's the whole thing with everyone like, oh, I see all these articles that are like, let actors have ugly teeth. And I feel like if I was the face for that, I would definitely be like, holy shit, I need veneers. Like, you guys are using me as the mouthpiece for like bad teeth. Like, Jesse Buckley's over here catching strays. But I do agree that it's like, yeah, we can let wrinkles exist, or, you know, let Emilia Clarke's eyebrows go crazy. Like, please, this is what makes film great.
I am very pro people having bad teeth. I am, however, like, I'm also perfectly fine with people getting teeth whitening, you know?
Yeah, you hate teeth. You hate bad teeth. I know that.
It's not that
you have a teeth thing. A tooth.
I don't hate like crooked teeth or bad teeth in that regard. But I do feel like it is like when people have sort of like gross looking teeth that don't look clean, then I'm like, okay, no, like we need to get you on sort of like an Oral-B whatever. But I think veneers are almost worse.
Yeah.
Like, I think if I had to rank like terrifying types of teeth I like top teeth would be like, okay, you've had braces and you've had whitening, whatever. But then close behind that would be like just like crooked teeth, but they're clean. And then I don't know whether I would put sort of like unclean teeth or veneers lower, because I do think veneers are like terrifying.
Yeah. Some of them are so too big, white.
Like these giant like pompers, and they're just like coming at you. Yeah. And then they reconfigure your whole face because like they don't fit in your mouth right, and then your face looks off.
I know.
I think that I'm coming up with like a unified theory about this, because I've been thinking about a lot about this, with like Ozempic and stuff too. It's like, I think there is a sort of natural like settling point that people's bodies have where the pieces like are proportioned to each other. And I think that like you can like to a certain degree like sort of go bigger or go smaller with that and still look normal. But if you get too skinny or if you get too heavy, the proportions don't like work anymore. And so then it's not like, oh, you look like a hot model. It's like, no, now you look like a weird thing. You know, it's like an uncanny valley, you know?
Yeah.
Like Timothée Chalamet looks appropriate in his body because he's like naturally a really thin person. So all of his like, the way his face looks and his head sits on his shoulders, like all of that like fits. Same with like Troye Sivan, like that all just like looks appropriate to be that thin. But if I was to try to look like them, my body wouldn't look right because it's like I'm not supposed, like I'm not naturally supposed to be that thin. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Are you like, but I feel like it's the same thing with like veneers where like if you take the teeth that you have in your current mouth and just sort of like move them around a bit, then that like sort of looks normal because those teeth are the size that are supposed to be in your face.
Natural, yeah.
Naturally they're there. And when you start getting veneers, it's like the teeth are too big. And so then your mouth doesn't fit them correctly. And then it's like the whole rest of your face dynamic is like thrown off in a weird way. So you look like Miley Cyrus where it's like, wait, something here is like an uncanny valley, you know?
Yeah. Well, and they all look the same. And so it is wait. What? How do we all have the same smile? And they're so white that it's kind of like, are you a robot? Do you eat? Like, what's happening
here? It's like, have you ever had a coffee?
Yeah. Yeah. So I agree. And you know what? Yeah. This is a great movie to advocate for. All natural. Not a single change needed.
And sometimes you can actually make the person look worse and it's still fine.
Yeah. The payoff is great. Yeah.
If you and I were on a deserted island, which of the two of us would be better at it, do you think?
I feel like you've said so many times that you would just give up.
I have said that?
Like in a zombie apocalypse or something.
Oh, in a zombie apocalypse, yes. And on a deserted island, I think I would.
You think
I
you could do
I don't think. I mean,
I think in some ways we'd be well matched. I'm very organized. I'm very practical.
Yeah.
But I don't have technical skills that would serve me on an island. So in that, I don't know. Do you
just, like learn?
Yeah, I don't know if I could learn how to build a fire without any sort of actual.
I feel
training.
Like I could build a fire.
You ever?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, not from scratch, but, I've watched Survivor enough that I feel like I could figure it out eventually, you know what I mean? I think the question would sort of be, like, how long how much buffer is there in that, like, trial period, you know?
Yeah,
like, if
exactly.
we have, like, a couple of rations or whatever, or it doesn't get, like, too cold.
It's like, how did she catch fish? Like, she was a natural.
She
made
a spear.
Yeah.
So she had that branch that she, like, put sharpened other branches on and, like, stabbed them.
I feel like I have seen and read enough, like, movies and books, that I would have an idea of how to attempt something. But I don't know if I'd be able to, you know, actualize it.
See, that's the thing. Like, I think if we were on a deserted island for 6 months, I think we could figure out how to, I think we're both smart enough to figure out how to catch fish.
Yeah.
But like, if we're going to die, if we don't catch a fish within the first 3 days, I don't know if we're like making it out of that period.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But if there's like coconuts around and stuff.
Yeah. We could,
or if a knife washes up,
if a knife washed ashore, we'd probably be okay,
right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
I think about this comic all the time that was that came out like I guess around the time that Castaway was out, because you know how in Castaway, Tom Hanks keeps, like, there's one box where he's like, oh, I'm not going to open this, I'm going to deliver it or whatever.
Yeah.
And there was, like, a comic that was in the newspaper or whatever that was, like, him delivering the box and the person opening it and going, oh, it's a knife and a cell phone and a tarp and whatever. Like, thank you for bringing this to me. And him being like, I could have used these and I opened it. And I think about that all the time, randomly.
Yeah, that was definitely dumb of him, for sure.
So that could be us with all of our products washing up, I'm sure.
And it's also like, could I survive? Yeah. But once there was like in Castaway, a toothache, or once there was like an open wound, I wouldn't be able to persevere. I could not pull my rotten tooth out. That's disgusting.
Well, that's what I'm there for.
You're right.
Although I don't know if I could pull out your rotten tooth either. Yeah. I also think about this fairly regularly, and was thinking about it again this past week. I'm like, if some sort of apocalypse happened, I think that I only have like probably a couple of years, because I would go blind.
I'd be so fucked.
Have to either be wearing like my glasses or my contacts.
Yeah.
And you know, on a desert island situation, like my contacts.
Oh, that would be so miserable.
You know, like I think I'm just gonna be blind, like groping around for things.
We would definitely lose our contacts in the crash, and then we'd just be on this island, neither of us able to see more than 2 feet in front of us.
Yeah.
We would be so
smart. And then also I could see a situation in which like, oh, like I have my glasses in my backpack and I'm wearing them, and then like three years into the thing or whatever, like they break, and then it's like, wait, now we're actually gonna die because now I can't see. I'm like, Shelby, we gotta go up to the top of the mountain. We gotta push me off.
Like, just walk over here. Nothing to see here. Yeah. No, I don't think I'm born to survive, but I think if push comes to shove, I could make a fair shake of it, you know?
Yeah. Well, then we'd get good notoriety if we did get picked up.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'd have that to look forward to. Okay. Is there anything else regarding this this movie that we need to discuss?
No, it was a good January film. Good start to the year.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list for next week's movies, and it does appear a little bit dire. There's apparently a new version of Dracula, which I didn't know about. There's a Kevin James movie coming out, The Strangers Chapter 3, and then a horror film called Whistle. Those are the wide releases. So I guess we could do the Charlie XCX movie.
Oh yeah, The Moment.
Should we care about that?
Yeah.
I'm also like, Surratt is coming out this week. Did you see that? Have you seen that yet? Because I am sort of interested in your take on that, but I think that might be one of those like limited releases where it actually didn't get to you for like another 17 years.
Yeah, we'll have to find something.
We'll figure it out. And then after that, we have Wuthering Heights, which I know that we will have so much to discuss. No one is ever going to have more thoughts on Wuthering Heights than the two of us.
Yeah, it's perfect. I hope.
I'm like, I think perfect. I think you're maybe the only person who's holding out that this film will be perfect. But
no, it'll be exactly what it wants to be, which will be horny and completely off base.
Right, yes.
And that's great. As someone who didn't like the novel, do what you want with it.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Put the cummy bathtub back in. We're ready. Yeah. Okay, well, thanks everyone for listening. We will be back next week with another episode on something or another. We'll, you know, dream up some sort of topic. In the meantime, you know, you can follow us on social media. Do whatever. Go wild. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.